Hello and welcome to another edition of Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, and I teach Spanish.
And this is a show about technology and education, and as much as possible, where they overlap.
And today's show is show number 59. Today we're going to be talking about new services that Google has, and some tips for the Mac, and then also a lot of education software and sites.
So lots and lots of content in today's show. You can check out the show notes for today's show at thetechteachers.blogspot.com.
Speaking of which...
It has a slightly new look. We'll talk more about that in a minute. For feedback...
Email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
All right, so should we talk about the new look for the site?
Yes. Slightly different.
Slightly different. Basically, it's a different color. But it's the new blogger. So when we want to add and change things to the site... the stuff underneath is a little bit easier to fiddle with now than it was before. So we did that,
and it looks
a little bit, you know, like fiddle.
No. Anyway, moving on.
And it looks a little bit different in addition to the color than it used to. You'll notice the Frapper map's gone for now. We're very excited that we have so many people on the Frapper map. We will be bringing it back at some point, or at least putting a permanent link up there.
It looked ugly, though.
It just didn't look right with the way the template was working. So
we're going to rework that.
We need to fiddle with that.
And no, we're reworking it.
We're reworking it.
Thank you.
So the Frapper map will return eventually in some regard. Also, there is still some Google ads at the very top, and the donate button's still there. The About Us has improved, and there's a new thing that I put on there, and we're going to do this for you as well, but the stories that I recently dug, it gets... updated kind of in real time.
From dig.com.
So basically, I have an account, and when I dig a story, my five most recent digs will show up on thetechteachers.blogspot.com, and you can see what I've been digging recently.
Stories about technology,
yes, generally,
or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. It could be anything. But of course, you can also go to dig.com/users/ who am I? PSharkR?
Mm-hmm.
PSharkR. And that would also give you like everything that I've dug.
Right.
So...
also, we're going to add a button then to the side.
Yes. Should be there when you're hearing this, we hope.
Right. For you to dig our podcast on dig.com.
Yes.
And
so this will help get our rankings up a little bit on there. We are in the education category over there, and that'll maybe get some more listeners.
You can also dig each episode.
Yes.
As
so we'll
well.
Put a link so. For each show. So if you think a show is really good, you could dig it as well. But really, dig our podcast, please.
Yes.
We were on the front page for education for a couple
momentarily.
Of weeks. Momentarily. And then we dropped to the second page, and now I think we've dropped to the third
really,
page.
I haven't checked it.
I think we're down to the third page, but...
that's all right.
Yes.
We'll get back up there.
You'll have to have an account with Dig to be able to do that, to use
real
the podcast
simple.
Feature. But it's, you know, it's free, and
yeah.
Just give an email address, and that's it. So.
And Dig's a lot of fun to use anyway.
Yes.
So.
Very useful. Very
yes.
useful.
All right. I think we should get right on into the technology section. And first off is new Google services that have been rolled out. They rolled out Google Photos.
Yeah, and it was in beta for a while or whatever. But I guess, I don't know exactly when this happened, but I've been very, I know people love Flickr, and a lot of people use Flickr. But if you're trying to upload a lot of pictures at once, like I'm not talking you send three or four pictures to Flickr at a time. I'm saying you want to upload 150, 300 pictures in
right.
one shot. Flickr's a disaster, okay? It just doesn't... I've not had any luck. It doesn't matter if I'm on a friend's network or the internet we have here. But it's, so it's not the upload, you know, per se, of where I'm at. I can handle uploading that amount of photos.
Right.
It always bogs down. It crashes. The tools used to upload a whole bunch of photos, I've tried countless ones, and they're buggy, or you know they don't work, or they mm-hmm. halfway through it just doesn't upload, or it takes hours and hours and hours.
And Flickr is so popular; it's amazing they have so many problems with this.
Yeah, Flickr's a great sharing site if you're going to mm-hmm. put up a couple of photos at a time. It has a lot of great tools and a lot of good things for sharing. But as far as if you want to back up and put up lots and lots of photos, you know, high resolution, the whole thing, it doesn't work that well. Got to be
right.
perfectly honest. So I tried out Google Photo.
I did as well.
The free version.
Yes.
Oh, so much faster. It was lightning fast. I was so impressed. Even though, you know, Flickr's now in limited storage for $25 a year, I switched from my Flickr, which just expired, to Google. And even though you only get 6.8 gigabytes or whatever, it was for $25, same price, but not unlimited. It was worth it. So I'm paying the same for less storage, but, you know, it's kind of like... when you pay for, you know, your download speeds, if you're advertised one thing and you never see that download speed, why, you know, Mm-hmm. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, you can upload as much as you want. Well, not really. You know, I mean, that's mm-hmm. the experience I've had, is that basically the first 50 photos are nice and quick. And then when I try to upload another 100 that day, it's a disaster. It just doesn't want to let me do it.
Yeah.
So there's, I don't know if it's on Flickr's end, if it's, they're intentionally trying to limit people. But as far as putting up lots of photos in one day, Google by far better than Flickr.
Yes.
Not as pretty. The sharing stuff, not as good. Except the killer thing for me was it was easy to upload hundreds of pictures. And then I could share it because it was linked to my Gmail account, which I use, whereas mm-hmm. I don't use Yahoo Mail or whatever. I use my Gmail. So it was linked to my Gmail so I could easily email one other person, you know, here's the photo album, and they have access to it.
I also like it's one login and you have all these services.
Yes, and we're going to talk more about the other services. Right. So it's tying it all together, mm-hmm. Even though it'll come around. I hope they continue to add to Google Photo to make it the equivalent of Flickr with still the great downloads. But give it a shot, especially if you're like me and you're frustrated with Flickr's mm-hmm. the amount you can upload.
It was so fast. I mean, under 10 minutes for me to do 200 photos.
Yes, and that would have been an hour and
full
a half
resolution.
On Flickr.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare, so
right.
if it even works.
Yeah. Excellent. Another service.
Oh, we should mention too that not, if you need more than 6.4 gigs, they mm-hmm. offer more storage for more money.
Okay.
And the first, how many, 100 megabytes, 200 megabytes?
250
megabytes is free,
mm-hmm.
so you can try it out and see. And
that's
if anything, I got faster speeds when I paid. I was kind of mm-hmm. worried that, well, maybe once they get my money, they'll throttle me back like Flickr did, but no.
Hmm. So. Excellent. Next Google service is Google Reader.
Yes, which I just recently tried out.
It's an RSS reader.
And I'm not a big fan of RSS readers. Here we are doing mm-hmm. a podcast, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of RSS readers for my news. I kind of like to go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
But this has kind of changed my mind. Because it's right there in my Google account. And I can look quickly to see some of the stuff that I wouldn't normally check. And I don't want to go to their site. I have started to use it. I'll admit mm-hmm. I've started to use it. Mainly in conjunction with another program on my Mac that I can't remember the name of. But it syncs up with Google Reader,
okay.
and I have it just checking the stories I dug, so I usually don't have time to read them right away.
Mm-hmm.
I just dig them, and I come back later, so that I can just see the stuff that I've been digging.
See, I tried it.
So I subscribed to my own RSS, basically.
Okay.
And that, in conjunction with the Google Reader,
that's
I
a
like.
Good use of it. I like that. That's a good use. I tried it. I don't find that I'm using it. I do like to just go to the site whenever I feel like it.
But if you do want something else that links into the thing, it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It was a little bit clunky. It could be better, but it, you know, it's right there. It's easy to try. You
mm-hmm.
don't have to install any software or anything.
Yeah, it was fun to try.
And it's once again, it's the key thing is it's one login, so you can
mm-hmm.
go from your mail to your reader to your photos,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm just loving. So,
mm-hmm.
all right,
absolutely.
What's the next
service?
And
then finally, Google Earth,
which isn't linked into this.
Yeah,
but you hadn't tried it in a while.
No,
I tried a long time ago.
We've
talked about it on the show. I think one of our first couple shows we talked about Google Earth and how much fun it is to use. It's coming along pretty well now. There's a lot more information out there. There's more and more of the 3D modeling. If you haven't tried it in like 6, 7, 8 months, I think it's version 4 is out.
You have to download. It
like
doesn't run in your
megabytes,
browser.
50 megabytes. It's a program, and it is fast and getting better. And it does something that, you know, Google Maps and these mapping services will do, but you like the way it does the businesses.
Right. I always want to see what is around the target that I'm looking for.
Without having to search for like hotel or restaurant.
Just an easy way to see what other businesses are around there in case I want to go do something else nearby.
Yeah.
And it does that in an easy way. And
a very visual way too.
Right.
Because you can fly around and see, oh, that's close to this.
So, I like it.
It's fun. It's a fun toy really is what it is. But check it out. You haven't seen it in a while.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Before we go on, let's talk about something else software-wise that we'll probably talk about more in depth next week. If you haven't tried out Opera, I think I mentioned Opera a while back when you were talking about browsers and said I wasn't a big fan. I was like, it's all right. I now love Opera. I found some features built into Opera that are usually extensions in Firefox, and the fact that they're built in and I don't have to worry about extension compatibility when I change my version of Firefox and all that, Opera has now won me over. I'm using both because I upgraded my MacBook to 2 gigs of memory so I can run two
both
or three browsers at the same time. I can have Safari and Opera and all these browsers open, like all these different programs open, so I don't have to worry about memory as much. But I'm using Opera for a lot of my stuff. And
you even emailed me and said that's
you
your number one choice, more than Firefox.
Yes.
And that was amazing to me that you said that.
Yep, and we'll talk more about that in a future show. But just check it out if you haven't in a while. And look into the session stuff. That's the key thing. The sessions and the starting up your homepage. And I know Firefox has Session Saver, but this is built in.
See, so. I'm supposed to be about trying new things, but I don't want to switch. I love Firefox, and I feel like an Internet Explorer user that won't switch to Firefox, yeah. But I will not switch. I don't think I'll be switching to Opera.
I also installed Firefox 3.0 that you can get the pre-release. Uh-huh. It's called Minefield right now, which is a little scary.
Oh, gosh.
It's not very stable. I installed it along with Firefox, so I'm actually running 4 browsers now, although they won't. Firefox and Minefield won't run at the same time. Mm-hmm. Minefield is not stable. Do not try it.
Okay.
Forget it for right now. And there's no really killer new features that I can see from a usability standpoint. So,
the name actually means something.
Yes, it's a minefield. Okay. It's like a pre-release, whatever. I was like, I figured I'd give it a shot since I have 2 other browsers I'm using. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so moving on to tips for the Mac, which I was surprised to hear that a lot of our listeners are Mac users.
And we've looked at the statistics and about a quarter of you, I think. Or no, half?
I think it was about half.
About half are Mac users.
Right.
Or no, a third. I think a third are Mac users. So we're going to put a little bit more Mac.
Closer to half.
Maybe it was a half. We'll put some Mac content in here. So what's the first thing?
Okay, a monolingual.
Oh, this is a lifesaver. If you have a laptop, okay, this isn't such a big deal if you have a desktop. If you have a laptop with like a 60 gig or 80 gig hard drive, and I could say, here's a way to get, 2 to 4 or 5 gigs back. You probably are going to be happy about that
because it's a large percentage.
It's a good percentage of what you have. Monolingual will do that. What it does is your MacBook, if it came pre-installed, which all of them do with OS X, it comes with all of these languages like Portuguese and Spanish and thousands of language packs are installed. This monolingual thing will get rid of all of those. Just be very careful when you check the boxes because it can get rid of some stuff you don't want to get rid of. So in other words, don't get rid of English. Obviously. And then there's a couple other checkboxes for emulation stuff. Don't get rid of any of the processor stuff.
What if you wanted to keep a language?
You can keep it. Okay. You can check or uncheck any language. So if you wanted to keep Spanish, you could.
Okay.
But to get rid of this gets rid of like several gigs worth of space on your hard drive. Then on top of that, after you're done with monolingual, if you want to free up, I think I freed up over 5 gigs. Go into the printers thing and get rid of all that printer stuff. And then if you have, if one of those is your printers, leave it. But below, it's in applications. Oh, what's it in? I forget. You can look it up online. Just type in, Mac printer drivers location or something like that on Google. There's just hundreds and hundreds of printer drivers installed, and they take up a lot of space. If you get rid of all those, you save another couple gigs. So it's like, I think I got a savings of like, I can't remember, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 6 gigs.
So monolingual is something you bought or you just
completely
downloaded
free.
It free off
completely
the internet?
Completely free. Monolingual does completely for free. Okay. Just like I said, be careful what you have checked and unchecked. Check all the tabs because it could take away stuff that will break some programs.
Okay, so we'll put a link to monolingual in our show notes then.
Yes.
So
and just read carefully before you do it. But you can get rid of all the languages. That won't break anything. Just don't get rid of English.
And if you'd like to see what is on your hard drive, JDisk for the Mac is excellent.
And we've mentioned JDisk before, but I continue to just be amazed at how nice that program is for visual representation. So check JDisk out again. We'll put a link up there in the show notes for Mac and for Linux and for Windows. So download for everybody.
Great.
Lots of content. Woo!
Yes. A couple more things for the Mac. You had mentioned you found a shortcut, Apple Tilde.
Yes. As a Alt-Tab person in Windows, it was very annoying to me that when I Apple-Tabbed or Command-Tabbed, I could change like from program to program, but not from window to window. So if you combined Command-Tab with Command-Tilde, which is right above it, you can go from program to program. And like let's say I switch the program Firefox and I have the wrong Firefox window, I could then hit Command-Tilde and go to the other one.
Okay.
So it's something I didn't discover till way later in my use of the computer, Mac use, but it's very nice. That has saved some time and some frustration. What else do we got?
Screenshots,
yeah. If you're coming over to a Mac, you have to hit several keys, and it is, did I write it down? Because I have it on my desktop.
So you're talking about how to create screenshots.
Yeah, so if you
on
want
your Mac.
So you want to take a screenshot, which means you want to take a picture of what's on your screen and turn it into like a JPEG file. Mm-hmm. Or actually, I think it saves them as PDFs, can't remember. But whatever, as an image you can see or email to somebody or say, this is what your screen should look like. Click this or here's the problem, here's the error I'm getting, or maybe this is you have a receipt you want to capture or something from a website, just a little small section of it. It is Command-Shift-3 to get the entire screen, and then it saves it to the desktop. Or Command-Shift-4, you get crosshairs, And then you can click and drag the crosshairs, and you can put just a box on what you want.
Oh, nice.
Or, and this is the one that I just discovered today, Command Shift 4, and then while you're holding holding the cursor down, let me see, Command Shift, I gotta try it now. Command Shift 4, yeah, before you let go of the command and the shift, you hit space bar, there we go, you get a little camera. And then you hold the camera over the window you want to take a picture of, and then you let go.
Oh.
Then you click. And they took a picture of that, just that window.
Okay.
So the camera thing is probably the most useful, because usually you want an entire window.
How do you do this on a PC?
Print screen.
Print screen? What's
that?
Yeah,
and then it saves it to the clipboard somewhere.
Print screen, what do you mean?
There's a button on your PC that says print screen.
Oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
And that would just...
That prints it to a file. It's like, you know, printing to a PDF or whatever.
Oh.
So if you hit print screen, it goes somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know where, though.
Okay.
I don't remember, because I always use, on PCs, I usually use a tool. I install something that is image capture software, like a little freebie,
mm-hmm.
and then it just keeps them all in order for me, so I don't really use the print screen. I use some other thing.
I've never had to do Snapshot.
Okay.
Or.
All right. Well, it's really, I mean.
Screenshot, yeah.
It can come in handy if there's something on the screen you want to save.
Right.
And there's no easy way to save it exactly the way it looks. All right, so is that it for the Mac section?
I think so.
Okay.
Enough Mac.
Yes. So if you're a PC Windows user, we've not forgotten you. In fact, very exciting stuff on the PC. Vista has come out.
Yeah.
And we don't have a copy yet, but we'll have one soon to play around with.
We will.
Well, we won't, but we'll have access. We'll have access to a Vista machine that we can check out all the features, and I'll be playing around with it, and yes. So.
Okay.
Well, you might soon, right? You're going to think about buying a new laptop.
Maybe so.
Yeah. So you might have a Vista machine as well.
I think it'd be a while, though, before I can afford my new laptop.
Well, we'll have one to play around with here soon.
So. Okay. All right. So, education. Okay.
No one can see us.
Before, yes.
We're hand gesturing.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
Not nice ones. Okay. The first thing I think is just real quick. Website to mention in education. It's called memorizable.org. And if you have something that your students need to memorize.
I would ask, why do they need to memorize anything? Sorry.
Right.
No, but I found the web, or this is my site, so go ahead, sorry.
There are some times
that they, yes.
When they just need to memorize something.
I agree. Sometimes there's some information you have to have on the tip
and,
of your...
Right. Obviously, this is not something you want to use as all the time, every single day.
But if you have information that they have to memorize for whatever test.
Right.
Yes.
You can then enter it into this website. And they can go in and click one side of the column, and then it'll reveal the other side.
Yep, and I might even use this in AP Physics because they do have to memorize some equations. I'm
it's
not
like
a fan of memorization.
Yeah,
I'm
flash
not a fan
online.
Of memorization. But if right before the test, you still don't have the equation you need, and I didn't make the test, right? I didn't make the rules for the test, and you don't have that equation. You need it in your memory.
Yeah,
and you don't have it from the use, which you should have. Well, then, we got to do something, right?
Yeah.
So this is one thing like that.
But it's basically like online flashcards, and I can create it, or my students can create one for themselves
and
to study.
It's easy.
Right.
And free.
Real, real simple, clean, nice looking. So check it out.
Check it out.
Okay.
Yes.
And then...
You want to explain this one? Daily Lit?
Daily Lit, yes.
Which we got from Dig, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we heard that on Dig Nation. Daily Lit is a site where you can go and choose a book that you'd like to be emailed to you in portions. They'll email a chunk to you, and then you can read that. And it's just like, if you are too busy to read books a lot of times, you can just have them email chunks of it to you, and then eventually over, you know, a couple months, you'll be able to read an entire book by email. It has to be, though, what is it called? Open source or common?
No,
not
common, open source. Not open source. It can't source. Be, it can't have a copyright. The copyright's expired. So it's in, it's just, yeah. What the heck is
what
that
is
called?
That called? Common,
Not common. Oh, my gosh. It's not common. Open source. No, it's not open source. It's not Creative Commons. Something domain. Public domain.
Public domain.
It's in the public domain. Oh,
that's
boy.
That's horrible.
It's the end of a long week,
a long
I guess.
Week,
yeah. That's our excuse. Right. Mm-hmm. Public domain. Anyway, it's got to be in the public domain, which means the copyright expired.
So that means there were not very many books to choose from.
Yeah, there's no bestsellers on there.
Right.
It's older stuff.
They are hoping, though, that if this becomes popular, then publishers will then start posting books to the
site.
So
go do it, because I think it's a great business model. I would say, you know, I might read more if it was like, okay, we'll give you the first 100 pages free in your email, and then at the end of the 100 pages, if you want to keep reading, you can either, we'll sell you the book at a discount. Or not a discount. We'll sell you the book, or pay something slightly less than the book and keep getting them in your email.
Right.
I think that's a great way to get introduced to a book and start on a book. I don't know that I would read a whole book via email, but I think I might start one that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually interested in that.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Because I can't, yeah, it's a good idea to fit time because you're always in front of your email, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you read a couple pages a day.
Yes.
Not going to take long, right? All right.
Exactly. All right, finally, ProfCast.
Oh, this is a great piece of software. I bought it, and I don't like to buy software. I always almost try to do it for free or write my own stuff, and not my own programs, but like using the Automator. I try to make it as much as possible so I don't have to buy anything. But I did buy this, and I think it's $30. They have a demo. Try out the demo. See if it does what you want. It does exactly what I want. Quick rundown on how it works.
Just for the Mac?
Just for the Mac,
okay.
You make a You make a keynote set of slides. So it's like PowerPoint. You make your little presentation, and then you save your presentation, okay? So you have a presentation file just like a PowerPoint file.
Okay.
You take the keynote presentation, and you drop it into this program. Program takes 5-6 seconds, and it's like, okay, hit the record button. You hit record, the presentation launches in front of you. It's recording your voice, and you can hit spacebar and move through your presentation as if you were giving it live to an audience. When it's done, this is the magic. It's not that magical. I mean, you could do this on your own for free, but it would take more time. When it's done, it has the audio synced up to what was on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it AAC, M4, what is it? MP4, not MP4, M4B, whatever it is.
Some sort of a video file?
It's enhanced audio content. So it's,
okay.
You know, in other words, when you play it back, this is what we did very briefly with our show where we had chapters. When the students play it back, if they mm-hmm. play it back in iTunes, okay, if they play it back in iTunes or on their video iPods, they can skip around. The audio content is indexed. In other words, every time you change that slide, mm-hmm. it gives it a new chapter,
okay.
and it gives it a picture for that chapter, and you can have as many chapters as you want. So like I did a thing where I had 10 slides. There were 10 chapters. Each one was labeled. The title of that slide, whatever was on the title of that slide is the label. And it syncs up to the audio, so it's the okay. correct audio when they go there. So they can jump around and just listen to the parts that they need. And it's cool. It's cool because it's easy. It literally takes you just as long to make a presentation and speak it, and it's done.
So you're using this with your students. They have
MP3
players.
Yes, I got every single AP Physics student MP3 player with their course fee money. Bought them on Newegg. And then ran Newegg out of stock on one model and bought the other 5 from Tiger Direct, which I'd never really used before, but it was fine. So, and it's going well so far. I'm giving them MP3 content that they can listen to on the MP3 player. I'm also using them as flash drives to send content like I just described mm-hmm. home so they can use it on iTunes and have the slides right there with them. And there's more to come, but that's just the start. And they also occasionally use it to listen to music. Anyway.
So you think they're really listening to you?
Nothing's been assigned yet. Mainly I'm trying to make sure everybody gets comfortable with it, the files and stuff and the file mm-hmm. formats and where to put them and everything. So we've just been kind of practicing with this content because everything that's been delivered to them in MP3 or in this other format, the AAC or the Enhanced Podcast, whatever you want to call it, they've been given in class. Like I've done it in class. So really right now it's just getting everybody up to speed, and then this week there'll be something where they'll have to listen to it as part of their assignment. So they're going to finally have to use it, to, you know, instead of basically it's going to be combined with some reading. So,
all right. So this AAC format, if you put it on these just regular MP3 players,
it won't play. I've been giving them an MP3 and then the enhanced file.
So where do they play the enhanced file?
They have to play iTunes at home because we're not allowed to have iTunes at school.
Okay.
Unless I got okay. Let's not get on that again.
Yes. All right.
Let's avoid the topic.
Yes. Yes. So that's it for education. But we did want to mention one other product from CES. We thought we'd sprinkle these in and as time went on.
Oh, you've seen the ProfCast thing before we do that. What did you think?
I thought it looked really simple. And you said it was $25, right?
$30, I think.
$30? That to me is so worth it. Because you said you would have to write...
I probably could have come up with something very similar for free, but it would have taken me about, to get it working that smoothly, probably like 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
Like, I mean, it was, you know, in 3 or 4 hours, I mean, it's like, you know, 4 hours, that's like $5 an hour would be $20. So We're talking, what is it, $7 an hour or something like that? I'd pay somebody $7 an hour to write that program for me. So, you know, no problem.
Well, and I also think, I mean, this just makes...
I'm sure I could have cracked it too, but
it makes your content delivery cutting edge to your students.
That's true.
And I think that's pretty cool. Yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry. I interrupted. Well, I put my hand up.
Yeah, but
I didn't. I still
you were
going to
interrupt
go ahead.
Anyway.
So. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, finally.
I'll give you a quarter later.
Yeah, okay. That product I wanted to mention that we saw at CES, I thought since we were talking about the MP3 players, why not mention the MP3 player that was the size of a credit card?
Which has been around for a while. These are more like promotional business things. Like, you can give them out. It's like a Neato, and you put your company logo on there.
Yes.
But they claimed it was waterproof, and you could stick it in your wallet, and it wouldn't break.
Mm-hmm. And now, it was sturdy.
I would think that would be, forget the MP3 player. I just want to use that as a
flash drive.
Yeah. It's like, instead of
thing
around my neck, they have his flash drives. Just put a card in my wallet, and that's got all my stuff on it.
Yeah.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. I would actually buy that as a consumer.
Now, I held one in my hand, and it did seem just a little bit thicker than a normal credit card.
It was thicker than a normal credit card, and I think it would break. I think there'd be a chance that...
It doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, because it was definitely more rigid than a credit card.
I think there's a market for it, though. It's kind of a neat little thing.
I would try it out. If it was like $20, 512 megabytes, I'd try one out just to get the thing off my neck.
The company was called, I believe, Walletex.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but I have a website.
There's tons of companies that do it, though.
Right.
So, but yeah,
but the one we saw.
Yep, the one we saw.
Yeah. I think that's it.
All right. We've got some time, actually. We're in good shape. Let's see. There was something else we should probably talk
about.
Let's bring people up to speed on what's been going on. Football season's over. Mm-hmm. So now we're all about the NBA.
Yes. And, I love the Suns, the Phoenix Suns.
And we've been playing a lot of video game basketball.
Yes.
We still like our TV. I don't know if we told them we got a Vizio. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to keep it.
Yes, I think so.
We're happy 42 with
inch
it.
Plasma.
Yes. We're happy with it. Also, we're getting, we finally, if you're looking for an HD DVR, check out Dish right now.
Dish has a nice promotion.
This is not a commercial. We're still not doing commercials. It's at the end of the show. People might think
we're just talking about our life.
Our life, yeah. We finally pulled the trigger on getting HD DVR from
Dish Network.
And they're running a pretty good special right now where you can basically, for the first 10 months, you get this for, what is it,
$40?
$40? Mm-hmm. $40 a month. And if you don't have a telephone line,
$5 more.
$45 a month.
Yeah.
But still, most cable companies charge $60, $65, sometimes $70. Right. So that's a pretty good deal.
I was paying about $80 at one
point.
For all the services.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Finally, we did it.
Yes, we finally did it. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I have parent-teacher conferences this week.
Right? I have parent-teacher conferences as well, and there's snow in the forecast.
Oh, no.
We're probably not going to be at school Tuesday.
Not that we want those conferences canceled at all,
No, Wednesday we'll be at school. Wednesday, I think, we'll be at school. But Tuesday we will not. So we'll have the day off before parent-teacher conferences. Uh-huh. Then we'll have parent-teacher conferences Wednesday, Thursday, then we'll have Friday off. So that's kind of nice. Day off, parents, day off. That's about the way it should be, I think. So. All right. Check out techteachers.blogspot.com for the
show notes and new and improved look.
I don't know if it's improved.
Okay.
Slightly different, I think.
Slightly different. Yeah, you're right.
Appropriate term.
I like the color.
You like the color. Well, the dig thing looks kind of nice. We're going to we got to put yours up there, too. We got to add that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And feedback at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. Be sure to dig our podcast so we can bump up a couple pages. Doesn't take much. If 10 of you dig our podcast, I think we'll be to the front page. So it's not going to take much. I mean, we already have 12 or 13 or whatever. Yeah. And that'd be another way to meet some fans of the show. You can see who dug the podcast and subscribe to their feeds and all that and find out what other educators are going on.
We only need about 10 more.
I think that's it.
Oh, yeah. I got to call some friends then. Yeah.
Call some friends.
They won't do it.
That's not good.
They'll be like, you do a
that's
podcast?
Cheating.
No.
That's cheating. We don't want a cheater way to the top.
What's a podcast?
It's a podcast. All right.
Yeah.
And what else? I think that's it. Check out the show notes. We'll be putting up links be putting up links to all the stuff we talked about today and the products.
Yep. I think that's it.
I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
I'm Holly, and I teach Spanish. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.